Bucks team.
There he is again. My goodness.
Doug Christie. What a pass. Men against boys.
The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.
Crouches, gets a step to the baseline. Drive. Oh! Job with the right hand. Oh, boy.
Now, Grant Napier.
We are settling in for a full show. Kings off until Thursday. Got baseball going on tonight. Game four in the ALDS. You have got the NFL last night. Center stage, Drew Brees taking over. They destroy Washington. You've got week six in the NFL. Beginning on Thursday night. So you got a lot of stuff going on. And I want to ask you, I personally have a very difficult time gauging performances such as last night when you're not playing an NBA team.
Yeah, but there's the competition of competing on a night-to-night basis. I understand what you mean by that, Grant, because normally when you play lesser talent, you should play up. And there was a point in the game early on where, you know, Kings weren't scoring, and all of a sudden, turnover-wise, I didn't get the final box, but I want to say in the third quarter, they had Hoffa had 20 turnovers, and Kings had 29 points off of those 20 turnovers or something like that, which they should have. But there were some things that I liked that I saw. I like that Frank Mason looks to be stepping up. I continue to see Harry Giles, man. He's making some passes and things, Grant, that I just – it makes me smile. Justin Jackson played a little bit better.
I want to stop you there for a minute. I really believe that Frank Mason's short stint with USA Basketball and Jeff Van Gundy and everything, to me, he came back looking like a completely different player.
Yes, he did. I really think that helped his confidence, his competition level. I see him on the defensive end doing the things that he was doing early in the season last year. And then after his injury, and sometimes that happens with young players where they kind of back off a little bit, whether they know it or not. But he looks to be playing better. And then Nemanja Bjelica, man, I like what I see out of him, Grant. I mean, the ability to stretch the floor, to play make. He protected the rim and blocked some shots. Now, this was, like, to your point, this was against some lesser talent, so some of those guys that he was blocking shots might be dunking the ball when they come. But his aggressiveness and playmaking ability, I think he is going to be a player for the Kings and a really good pickup for them.
Yeah. Anything else strike you? Let's talk about Justin Jackson last night. Did he look any different than he did in the previous three preseason games?
He hit a few shots that, you know, he has to hit, meaning that there's a double team. There's some ball movement. The ball swung around, and he missed one early. And then it came back to him, and then all of a sudden he hit the shot. I saw him in the passing lanes a couple times. I really like to see that. Got out in the open floor, got himself a layup. It was just a little more pep to his step and maybe a sense of urgency, and that's the way that you have to play. I know it's tough. I know it takes a lot of energy, but you got to play that way on a night-to-night basis.
Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox, coming up at 4. Dave Yeager will be on as well. We'll nail down the time, either 4:30 or 5, right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Last night, the Red Sox score 16, and all I hear about today is the decision by Aaron Boone to leave Luis Severino in too long in the fourth inning.
Okay.
My question is, the score was 3-0 when he took Luis Severino out of the game.
Right.
The Yankees scored one run.
Right.
So why all the talk about what you did in the fourth inning? The game was over. You only had one run.
Well, even more than that, I really wanted your take because I know that you know everything that goes pretty much with the Yankees. Severino didn't understand what time the game started. What is up with that?
Yeah, you know what? If that is true, and I'm saying if it is true, that's inexcusable. Now, let's just say that is true.
Okay.
And let's say he had an abbreviated warm-up session.
Okay, and that's what it looked like from all intents and purposes.
Okay.
Yes.
He didn't allow any runs in the first inning.
No, he did not.
Okay.
It was a deep ball hit. It was a little moist. But he didn't allow any runs. Yep.
All right, so I think he threw 15 pitches in the first inning.
Yes.
All right, so at that point, in addition to what you did in the bullpen before the game and the first inning, then at that point, aren't you ready to go?
You should be.
Aren't people making too big of a deal out of this?
Okay. The only
Had they scored in the very top of the first,
right,
I would say, okay. But, you know, and then even in the second inning, they did score one run on a ball that unfortunately went off his glove.
Yeah.
So it's 1-0 after second. And, again, you know, Aaron Boone said he – went through his normal routine. Of course, the manager is going to stick up for the player.
Right.
It is a little odd to me in terms of the timing of getting to the bullpen. But again, I think they're making too much out of this.
Okay.
In the first two innings, the Red Sox scored one run. Okay?
Yes.
All right. So let's just say that Severino didn't have his normal warm-up. Well, by the third inning, he had his normal warm-up.
Yeah, he was
he's
good
ready to go. So, it's
yeah.
Again, they're making a mountain out of a molehill. And I don't understand everyone killing Aaron Boone for the way he managed. All right, was I surprised when you bring in Lance Lynn in the fourth inning with the bases loaded and no out when you have, you know, the pitchers they have in the bullpen? Yes, okay, I was. But again, the Yankees scored one run. It was 3-0 when he took Severino out.
Right.
It wouldn't have mattered. They scored one run.
Right. I got you. I just, when you talk about team sports, and this is where when team sports, where you come in, whether guys are selfish or whatever it is, we're depending on you to do what you're supposed to do. Bill Belichick, do your job. And if that caused any rift, and to your point, it doesn't sound like it did because they got the one run. Then with the tip off of his glove, they ended up, it's 3-0 when he goes out. So I understand it's a bad look. Did it throw off anybody in the game? I don't know that part.
Listen, the Red Sox were a much, 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 much better team. They scored 16 runs. They beat the Yankees in every single facet of the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
They
so I don't want to hear about Luis Severino's, warm-up session. Okay.
I got
because in the first two innings, Boston scored one run. So even if it had been true, by the time the third inning started, Severino should be ready to go. All right. He didn't have his stuff. He clearly did not have his stuff. I don't know what time he normally warms up. It seems to me that would be something that could easily be proven. I mean, by anyone that covers the Yankees on a regular basis, they know what time the pitcher walks out to warm up.
And, Grant, I would go to say at that level, you are so finely tuned, you probably throw a certain number of pitches. Meaning, I don't know, it takes you 25 minutes to warm up and you only throw 50 pitches, whatever, fast, slow, however you do it, they would know all of that different
stuff.
They
have it all. They don't miss a thing.
Yeah.
You know, again, the one of the big issues for the game tonight is the home plate umpire, because the home plate umpire tonight, Angel Hernandez, had one of the worst games in the history of Major League Baseball at first base last night. And we know about the lawsuit that he has with Major League Baseball because he felt that he was being that he feels the MLB was prejudiced in not allowing him to work postseason assignments, blah, 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 blah. So basically it was a discrimination suit. Mm-hmm. So now you have, and all I've been reading about all day in the New York tabloids and in Boston is the fact that Angel Hernandez is going to be behind a plate tonight for an elimination game, and that you could not have a worse umpire in a position like this. Now, Angel Hernandez is regarded by many people, whether it's true or false, but as the bottom of the barrel when it comes to Major League umpiring, okay? And many people that are in baseball, not me, many people in baseball feel he should not be on the field for a postseason of this magnitude. Not only is he on the field, he's going to be behind the plate tonight in a huge game. So now the focus.
Yes.
Now he's going to be scrutinized. All right. Now I'm not saying it's fair or it's unfair. I'm just telling you the way it is.
It's going to be that will be the conversation. If there's anything that is super close, even balls and strikes, what have you, it's going to be interesting to see, Grant, if the broadcasters pick up on that, because if the story is national,
they will pick up on it.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a former pitcher in Ron Darling. And by the way, TBS is horrible. You got to get the baseball playoffs off TBS. It's an embarrassment. You got to when the baseball contract comes up in a couple of years, you cannot continue this. They're horrible. Absolutely, they do an awful job. Their studio show's awful. Their talent is awful. It's awful. It's horrible. No wonder. Even a blowout last night in the NFL, the ratings compared to the Yankees Red Sox, it's like, you know, Mount Rushmore against a little anthill. I mean, there's no comparison.
Now, was the Yankees Red Sox at the beginning of the game where?
No.
Okay. Okay. Well, say it with your chest. I got you. Tell them how you really feel there, Nate.
It's awful. It's terrible. Again, I don't think I'm alone in saying this. It's terrible. TBS is horrible. Absolutely horrible. I mean, it's embarrassing.
I would rather it be on what, Napes?
You know what? It's funny you say that. because I was going to talk about this, and then I heard my good friend Chris Russo talking about this.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if I agree with Chris.
Okay.
He said Major League Baseball, when the contract is up in 2020,
mm-hmm.
needs to take less money and allow NBC to do the games, because he makes a point that, you know, NBC and baseball are kind of synonymous. NBC will promote the game better. They will have much better talent, and they will do an incredible job of marketing the sport. The problem with the baseball playoffs now, and I really mean this,
right.
even from I don't even know where the game is anymore. I don't know.
You know, that's a good point, because I was calling home to get it recorded so
right.
I can go back and watch it. And I'm like, so I asked Siri, where is it? And that's how that's
you don't even know where it is. You can't even find the damn
that
thing.
That is it. And normally, right. in a game of this magnitude,
right.
it's Boston and New York.
Right.
It should be everywhere.
Yeah, I know. But so, again, and listen, do I think that if you put the games on NBC, that's going to solve the problem with ratings? No, I don't. But I do think it would help out significantly. I really do.
Who do you think would be the broadcaster if it was on NBC?
Well, if it were this year, it would be Bob Costas,
because
he's
awesome.
Still an employee of NBC.
Yeah, Bob.
But Bob Costas and NBC look like they're parting ways.
Oh, okay.
So I can't answer that question right now. I
okay.
don't know.
Well, hey.
The deal's not up for two more years. And again, I was going to talk about TBS. I wasn't thinking that far ahead. And we also know that leagues are reluctant to take less money on their TV deals. I thought the National Hockey League made a gigantic mistake when they took more money and left ESPN
uh-huh.
for NBC Sportsnet.
Gotcha.
Because at that time, nobody had ever heard of NBC Sportsnet. Nobody could find the games. And ESPN did a marvelous job of marketing hockey on SportsCenter. Not only did they cover the games, and they had great announcers like Gary Thorne, but they also spent a significant amount of time during SportsCenter
covering.
With the sport.
Yeah.
And when hockey left ESPN,
yeah.
it was a horrible move for hockey.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah,
it wasn't worth the extra money. It was not worth the extra money to leave ESPN.
And you know, this is what we talk about athletes, Grant. Are you willing to take a little bit less to have
yep.
a great team and a better product, or do you want to take all the money and go be the man, but you might lose all your games? So that's a baseball is going to have to answer that question, where you get you get promoted better, it shows you better, and you take a little bit less. That's a question they'll have to answer.
All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140, that's 339-1140. Drew Brees last night, you know, continuing to excel at age 39, and the Saints got some, they got a little momentum now. They made quick work of Washington. They may very well be the team to beat in the NFC South.
Look, Grant, for a second there, they weren't looking too good, but it looks like they are picking up steam, and they are beginning to play where they left off last year. And could it have been a little bit of a hangover paired with some injuries and different things from that devastating loss? Yes, against Minnesota, that is possible. But Drew Brees at the quarterback position, and pair that, Grant, with the fact that now you got the Ingram-Kamara 1-2 punch back, and Ingram has been out for a while.
All right. Again, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, Charles Davis with the NFL on Fox. He is going to be coming your way at 4 o'clock, and then we'll also talk with Dave Yeager. Your thoughts with Yogi Ferrell, Bjelica, when Bogdan Bogdanovic comes back, all of a sudden your top 8 to 9 look a lot better, don't they?
Yes. Well, Bogey adds so much, Grant,
yes.
because he understands – I want to even say he understands body language of players, meaning this guy hasn't touched the ball in a little bit. Let me get him a shot. Let me let him touch the ball. Maybe
yep.
not the shot. Let him touch the ball. And he can score the basketball. There are so many different things that he brings. So when he comes around, the basketball IQ raises. Bjelica, same thing, Grant.
Yep.
He has a really high basketball IQ. You see that he can see the floor,
yep.
and he stretches the floor incredibly well behind the arc, which was really, really nice to see. And the defensive presence, now, again, against a lesser opponent, I didn't expect that, and it was really good to see as well.
I'll tell you something else I think Bogdanovic does. I think that when he is on the floor with Buddy Hield, Buddy's a better player. I think that synergy you're talking about
yes.
is there with Bogdan and Buddy. I think Buddy thrives when Bogey's on the floor.
Well, let me tell you, Buddy played a really solid game. He shot the ball extremely well.
Yeah.
And guess how he shot it? It wasn't off the dribble. It was catch and shoot. Guys found him.
Yep.
He was open. He didn't put it on the ground. He shot the basketball. And that's what Bogdan Bogdanović does for Buddy Hield. They have a synergy together.
Yep.
He understands spacing and how to get him shots, draw defenders towards him. So I would agree with that premise, Grant.
You know what? I'll never forget you telling me this. Because you've mentioned it on this show and you've mentioned it to me in private about the awareness when you're on the floor of a guy that may need the ball and it just is what it is.
Yes.
And you need to accept that. And you always told me, you know, if I was on the floor and I noticed that Chris went two or three possessions, I'm talking about Chris Webber,
yeah,
without touching the ball, no matter what, I didn't care what the situation was, the next time I had the ball, Chris Webber was going to touch the ball because I knew that he needed the ball. It's little things like that just being around you, I've learned that makes a big difference.
It does, Grant. And Chris's credit, Chris, it wasn't so that he could shoot the basketball all the time. Yeah. Would he shoot it? Yeah, he would. But it was the ability for him to touch it and now make a decision for us cutting off of him, backdoor cuts, back picks, different things like that. And he was gracious enough to pass the ball out and let other people shoot it. But you can see it in people's body language and things.
Yeah.
Especially with young players, Grant, because think about Marvin Bagley. Think about De'Aaron Fox. Think about all these players, with the exception of like a Scal and a Willie Cauley-Stein. Most of these guys have been the top of the top through high school and college, and now,
yep,
they're here in the NBA, and they expect things. Not that they're going to be able to deliver constantly on this level, but you got to work with them to keep them engaged.
And the other issue is, you know, we don't know when Bogdan Bogdanović is coming back.
No.
All right? It may be, you know, 2 weeks into the season, and maybe 4 weeks into the season. We don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, and you talked about Yogi Ferrell,
mm-hmm,
and I continue to see really good stuff from Yogi at the same time. So when Bogey is not around, it's going to be more time for Yogi. It's going to be more time for Frank, and those two played well together. And what I like to see out of Yogi is his aggressiveness, his ability to – he's a little frisky, and I like that about him. I thought yesterday we had – I can't remember who it was on, and someone compared him to Patty Mills.
Yeah, Jerry Reynolds.
Jerry. And I thought that was spot on.
I
because
agree.
Patty can play the point guard,
yep,
but he's more of a scorer, and that's what you get from Yogi. And coming off the Kings bench,
great point.
I think you're going to get a lot of offense.
I do, too, because I think, you know, with Yogi Ferrell, with Bielitsa, with De'Aaron Fox and the improvement, I don't think scoring is going to be a problem for the Kings this year. I really don't.
Well, I have no idea because, obviously, I'm not the coach, but I could see Bielitsa starting, Grant.
Absolutely, I could, too.
I could see him starting. I mean, he's a veteran in the NBA, and it's been a few years, but the point is he knows how to compete. He understands schemes and a lot of different things, and it's a possibility. I don't know if that's the way Coach Yeager goes, but he can stretch the floor, man.
All right. Again, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. When we have Dave Yeager on, I'm very curious to know how he's going to coach a back-to-back the last two preseason games, you know, because – and I'm even more curious to know with his opener on Wednesday against the Jazz, and that's who you're playing on Thursday, does it alter the way you would normally approach a preseason game?
You know, I don't – you and I talked about dress rehearsal for the Kings, but the problem is, Grant, I don't really think that you have the ability to do a dress rehearsal unless you do it in the last game versus the Portland Trail Blazers, which comes on a back-to-back. Now you got Bielitsa in the fold, and he hasn't been there. And I don't know. I'll be interested to see Coach Yeager's take on what he saw from Nemanja last night and how he might put that all together. But with no Bogdan Bogdanović, you got to go with what you got, and you got to figure out a way that you're going to have your starting five. How deep are you going to go? And you want to do that in the preseason. You don't want to wait till the regular season comes, but you can't do it against the Utah Jazz because that's the first team that you face.
Yeah, so we'll talk with Dave Yeager about that when he comes on 4:30, 5 o'clock when we nail down the time. We will let you know, but we will have Charles Davis, NFL on Fox, and that is going to be coming up at 4 o'clock. Charles just did the Carolina game with the 63-yard field goal to beat the Giants, so we'll talk to him about that. There were some horrendous calls in that game, And we talk about this every week in the NFL, and it's just it doesn't seem to be getting any better to me.
No, it doesn't. And it's unfortunate because you got instant replay, but it seems like they kind of handcuff the referees a little bit, Grant, because they want them to call a certain thing. And it seems like the narrative that's being pushed out is call what you see. I don't want to hear anything else. Call it. And then they're the ones that they're getting criticized. And it's a tough sport to call. I mean, you can call a foul, throw a flag in the NFL on every single play if you just looked at the linemen grabbing each other every single time.
The NFL with bad calls, I think, are acceptable. I want to ask Charles if he thinks because of the emphasis on hitting a defenseless receiver, if that should be added to the review. Because I think that the officials, and you know what, I don't know how they would do it any better because it's such an instantaneous thing. I think that should be added to replay. I really do.
Well, you and I talked about it. First, allow the ref to throw the flag to protect the player. That makes total sense to me. I get it. But if you go back and you look at instant replay and you see the intent wasn't there or you were incorrect, that makes total sense to me. Now you're trying to do the best for the players and the game, and I think both of those things can work together.
Yeah, I would hope so, because to me, the only way that you're going to fix the problem is you have to make it so that egregious calls like the one in the Giants-Carolina game can be overturned. Mm-hmm. It just shouldn't – teams. It should not cost teams games. And that's what replay is for. You have it, so go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's something that you definitely want to make sure that you take advantage of for the product as well, because a lot of people get to see – they're at home. They get to see the instant replay, and then they're just up in arms. They take to Twitter and all the different things, and before you know it, it's a big storm, similar to what you were just talking about the ALDS and Angel Hernandez and the ability of instant replay and all the different things that go along with that. It allows for people to go back and look at it and scrutinize.
You know, ESPN's doing a live shot with Buster Olney on the field, and you know what they're talking about?
Yes.
Angel Hernandez. When's the last time you saw a live report on the field talking about the home plate umpire who's getting ready to work the game?
Never.
Yes, that's correct.
How about that?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, listen, Grant, in the subtext there said, Angel Hernandez to work home plate in game 4. Umpire had 4 calls reviewed, 3 overturned in the first 4 innings Monday. So you're pretty much setting him up already. There's going to be scrutiny. And if you're going to lead the show off with that, that means that the reporters and everybody are going to be all over it.
Now, in all fairness, 2 of the 3 that were overturned were literally like you had to slow down replay to see for itself. So I think that he's getting raked over the coals a little unfairly here. 2 of the 3 were like you couldn't tell with your naked eye. You had to literally go back and go frame by frame on the replay.
So did you see them live?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought the first one he got correct, and then the replay said it was incorrect. The second one I couldn't tell as I watched it. And then on the first replay, I couldn't tell. And then when they slowed down the replay, then you could tell. The umps don't have that.
No.
You know, I think he's getting – again, I know he's not a great umpire. I will put that out there. But in this particular instance, I think he's getting – I think it's being a little unfair.
Well, hey, get ready because no bigger stage than Yankee Stadium versus
well, and
Boston.
And CeCe and him have gotten into it before.
Oh, boy.
So
your boy CeCe tonight, huh? No. Come on.
I'm telling you, you better
put out some positive energy, man.
It's not happening.
If I had King Felix on the mound, Grant,
I'll take King Felix over CeCe Sabathia in a big game right now any day of the week. I'm hoping CeCe can make it to the second inning. That's what my expectations are.
Goodness gracious. Get
me to the second inning, CeCe, with no score. All right, we'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, don't forget Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox at 4 o'clock. Let's get to John. Hello, John. Welcome.
Hey, Grant. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a quick question. I'll take my off the air. How effective do you think CeCe Sabathia will be tonight? And do you think his relationship with Angel Hernandez will factor into that anyway? And do you think he can stay consistent in later innings.
I don't think the home plate umpire is going to be an issue because CC understands what's at stake. You can't be allowing the home plate umpire to take you off your game. I don't see Sabathia being effective at all. I just, you know, I know he's been in big spots before, and I know he's pitched well in big spots, but he hasn't pitched well lately at all. And I would be surprised if he makes it to the third inning. I mean, how else can I? What else can I go on?
Grant, you don't think guile and all the different things that come along with being CC Sabathia and being in championship moments helps him out to be able to get him past the second inning?
It's an advantage. I mean, it's a plus. But I mean, how is it that a guy that has not pitched well at all,
right,
all of a sudden is just going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm back. You know, I mean, I know it's a big stage and I get all of that, but look at the lineup he's going against.
Yeah, that lineup is deadly, man. I mean, you got a guy who you really haven't heard of, and last night.
He hits for the cycle.
He hits for the cycle. Grant, first time ever?
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
I mean, you tell me, would you expect something just because the guy has been in that spot before?
If I'm handing you the ball, I'm expecting you to do what I think that you can do and what I've seen you do. Now, whether it doesn't happen or not, that happens.
No, I don't disagree with that. Yeah. I mean, they obviously feel he's got to get, in my opinion,
four.
Yeah, if he can go four innings.
Now you're to your bullpen.
As long as you're not trailing after four, I like the Yankees in that spot. If you are trailing, they got some real issues.
Is there any advantage to getting on the board first for the Yankees tonight?
Big time.
Yeah?
Big time. Confidence, everything. And now I think it allows CC to pitch a little bit differently, you know.
If they get the lead.
If they get the lead.
Yeah. Well,
I think the Red Sox are going to score in the top of the first in this game.
Really?
Yes. Yep.
Think it'll be on TV?
I know. I'm going to try to find it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it or not.
Well, I figured you, you turned last night's game off, didn't you?
I went and watched the football game when it got to be 7-0 because I knew the game was over. So yeah. I was watching the football game.
Well, let me tell you, they got some guys for those Bo Sox, man. They're not trying to hit for power all the time. They're just slapping the ball around. They're moving runners. Yeah. I mean, it is.
But, you know, you got to remember after game two, everyone was talking about how the Yankees were in control of the series. You know, one thing about baseball, there is no such thing as momentum. Momentum is the next game starting pitcher. That's momentum.
You know what? You bring up a really valid point. That's why when you look at a team like the Houston Astros, who have some serious starting pitching that they can rely on for a few games. Just Keuchel and Verlander off the top of my head. And then you go from there. That's what makes them so tough. And they have the offense to match up with the Bronx Bombers and the Bo Sox as well.
All right, 339-1140. 339-1140. 800-920-1140. And again, you know, we talk about what you expect in a big game. The top of the first for the Yankees is gigantic tonight. All right? Because if you didn't watch, you were Mookie Betts last night on the first pitch of the game.
Yes.
Hit a ball 400 feet. That was caught in straightaway center. But they're not waiting around. They are going up and they're taking their swings.
Man, a pound of flesh, if you want to say. That's one thing about this Boston team, Grant. Very aggressive. And they kind of, I mean, just a well-rounded ball club.
Well, they won 108 games. Now, the Yankees have made a couple of changes for the game tonight. Because CC, when he's pitching well, he's a ground ball pitcher.
Okay.
So they have taken Andujar out of the lineup. And they're putting Neil Walker in. Now, Neil Walker is not Brooks Robinson in his prime, but he is a left-handed batter.
Okay.
And he is a better fielder. And once Sabathia is out of the game, then you can go and you can put Andujar in or you can pinch hit or whatever. But the Yankees are thinking defense there, and that's why he is playing for Andujar at third base.
Okay.
He's not a third baseman. He's a second baseman who's going to be playing third. That shows you what the Yankees think of Andujar defensively.
Wow. Well, hey, they put the shift off. He may end up at second. You never know.
That's a great point.
Yes.
Brewers-Dodgers. What do you think?
Oh, boy. Listen, Grant, this is You were spot on about the Brewers. I'm gonna give you your props because you called it out before the playoffs started, and that was because you got to see them at Dodger Stadium.
I like what I saw. There was something about the team that caught my eye, and it's not like they weren't good. They were a good team before they got to Dodger Stadium because the game was only a month ago.
Right.
But I was like, you know what? This team looks like they have the makings, and I was looking at their lineup. I'm looking at their pitching, and I'm like, I could see this team going all the way. I mean, in the National League. Now, if they beat the Dodgers, do I think they're good enough to beat the Astros or the Red Sox or the Yankees? No, I don't. But I like them against the Dodgers. I think that they have a really good chance.
Listen, an interesting thing is happening for the Dodgers, and it's happening by Yasiel Puig.
Yep.
He's putting it out there, Grant.
Yep.
And what I think that's doing a little bit, I think it's taking the edge off of the Dodgers, the things that Kershaw might be feeling. These guys have been through it before, and they've gotten close. They haven't gotten over. And just by him kind of saying, look, we're going to go through Milwaukee, we're going to get to the World Series, and we're going to win it. And this is the second time he's done it. Now, I know it's just talk, whatever. But certain things resonate in a locker room or clubhouse that help them out. And this might be one of those things that helps this Dodger team play with the freeness, Grant, that will allow the bats to do what they need to do and the pitchers to do what they need to do as well.
Well, they've got a lot of pressure on them after losing the World Series last year when they had a 3-2 lead.
Come
and
on.
They'll go home and lose 2 games. So
yeah.
They got a lot of pressure on them. You know, they lost a Game 7 at home.
Yeah.
You know, and they had it right there,
yes,
and it was a wild game, and they lost. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure on the Dodgers. And I'm not saying that there's no pressure on the Brewers, but compared to the Dodgers, I don't think so.
Right. And, the fact that they are not playing the Colorado Rockies, I think, plays into, obviously, their closer.
Yep.
Because now that's not a problem at all. Flying back and forth to Milwaukee is not the same as flying back and forth to Colorado. So they have their whole lineup. There are no excuses. This should be I think this is going to be a really exciting series. I think both teams put some points on the board, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
All guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today, Fire Wings. Just wing it. We've got NFL football that we're going to talk about with Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox. He's coming your way at 4 o'clock, and then Dave Yeager will be joining us as well today. Be very interesting to talk to Dave a little bit about how he's going to coach the game against the Jazz, considering that's the opening night opponent.
Yeah, it's you don't know. This is one thing you don't want to show too much. Maybe you compete at a really high level. I mean, that's what you're trying to do all the time. But what I mean by that is you're not showing too much of your sets and different things. You keep things vanilla. You're still trying to win the game.
Yep.
I don't really know what goes along with the Utah Jazz, who they have in, who they don't have in. But nonetheless, you get a look at your opponent that you're going to open up against, which – that'll help because it'll be a little bit on tape and you get some tendencies and different things that you can work with.
All right. Again, Grant Napier, Doug Christie. We get you right up till 7 o'clock. We welcome your phone calls at 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You've got Thursday Night Football with the Eagles visiting the Giants. You've got our game with the Kings and the Jazz. And then on Friday, the Kings will be in Portland to close out the preseason against the Blazers. First and foremost, the one thing that Dave Yeager wants to do is get through these 2 games without any injuries because the Kings have 7 of 10 games to start the season on the road, and they don't have Bogdan Bogdanovic for at least that period of time.
Yeah, you want to stay healthy. I mean, preseason, I don't care what sport it is. You want to make sure you're going to the regular season with everybody ready to roll. That's why Bogdan was such a big hit because, you know, they're thinking, and I think he adds way more to the lineup, Grant, than people understand. And I think that the guys in the locker room even understand that when you got that glue guy that holds everybody together that can do so many different things, he's a Swiss Army knife out there on the court. So you're right. Get through these last 2 games, no injuries, and get ready for the regular season to start up.
Yeah, and of course, when you're talking about the Jazz, you know, not only this Thursday, but more importantly next Wednesday, you know, they've got that inside-outside game. They've got the goalie in the Eiffel Tower in Rudy Gobert, right?
Yes.
And then you have Donovan Mitchell, who, you know, took the league by storm in his first year last year. So all big concerns for Sacramento. All right, we'll come back. We'll continue on. We'll get you to Charles Davis at 4 o'clock right here on Sports 1140. You know, we talk a lot about the Kings for obvious reasons, but I wanted to ask you, have you had a chance to spend any time watching any other preseason action this October? Because I have not really watched too much of other teams playing. I've watched, you know, a little bit, but not too much.
Yeah, I've only watched a little bit as well. I am going to go back tonight and watch. I taped a Jazz game because obviously we're getting ready to play them. So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go check that out tonight. But I haven't tapped in a lot. I've been pretty focused on the Kings, watching them, and you know, football starting and all things. So I've seen a little bit. I watched the Lakers a couple times. And obviously the team that they're playing, but that's about it so far.
The reason why I'm asking is, you know, there's been so much talk because this was such a good rookie class.
Yes.
And I'm only basing this on a handful of preseason games, which can be fool's gold.
Right.
The one guy that to me looks like a can't miss guy is DeAndre Ayton. I barring injury and or attitude, which I don't know about.
Right.
I can't see him not being a perennial all-star.
Yeah, the kid looks like he can play. It looks like the game's not going too fast for him. Offensively down low, a lot more polished. He could step away and knock down the shot. And in the area, Grant, that I'm impressed with is him on the defensive end. That was an area I think that people question, like, does he have the motor and different things like that? And he's really come out and proven that he can get it done. Does it surprise you that the Suns fired Ryan McDonough?
Well, the timing is just very odd.
I mean, listen, Grant, if you're going to fire your general manager, you allow him to move Marquise Chris, you allow him to sign Devin Booker, hire the coach, build the roster, you get your number one draft pick, you do all of that. You didn't know before then that this isn't your guy? That just that seems really weird to me.
All right, let's get to Austin. Hello, Austin.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Quick question. I'll keep it brief. But regarding the playoffs, I heard Mark Teixeira talk on, I think it was Good Get Up this morning with Jalen and Greenberg. He was saying that he doesn't understand as a player why we only play five games in a divisional series, let alone the wild card game, which is just one, which is ridiculous, when we play 162 games. Now, Grant,
it's pretty simple. There's a pretty simple answer for that.
What's that?
They don't want the season going deep into November with wet weather. I mean, you know, how are you going to play baseball, you know, outside in November? It's already an issue when you get to the end of October in a lot of cities.
How about you cut off a little bit at the beginning and give us seven games? Cool. It's the playoffs. Well, the playoffs are a lot more exciting.
You're gonna go head to head with March Madness?
Why you always got to answer for stuff?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, you can only go.
Well, you figure it out for me. I want more playoff
baseball. I figured
it out.
They've already extended the playoffs. It used to be you only had, you know, two teams in each league.
Well, if you're playing, just play in the snow then.
So what I'm saying is they already have extended. I mean, so, all right, go ahead. What do you think the answer is, Austin?
My answer would be cut the game from 160 to one, or from 162 to 160. Just two games. Give us a divisional series that's seven games. Is it too much to ask for two games fewer from the regular season? So that way a divisional series can be an actual series of seven games like the players who have been interviewed have been asking for. So this isn't just as a fan. The players have been asking for this. So let's go from 162 to 160. Let's not go crazy. All of the purists in baseball can't make a fuss about two games. Can they really?
Well, they will, but you're right. They will. They will, but you're right. I understand what you're saying.
I'm with you, Austin.
Anything else?
He dropped a mic.
All right, 339-1140. Again, and you know what? You know what I liked about him? He had an answer when I asked him what he would do. I like that.
Yes.
I like the fact that he had an answer.
And listen, it makes perfect sense. I've wondered the same thing. I know the play-in game, that's a tough one for me. I'd almost want to see best two out of three or something, because it's one game. You've said this many times as I continue to learn more about baseball, that every game is a game in and of itself, and anything can happen in 27 outs. And it's just – so to play 162 games in 27 outs is going to equate your season. That is really tough to take.
All right, 339-1140 is the local number. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. At some point, you know, you've got a play-in game. You've got a divisional series. You got a championship series. You got the World Series. I mean, I'm not really sure what you can do.
Well, I just think that the one thing, Grant, that I always tuned in, I didn't always watch baseball the whole time. I watch my team. I tune into the Yanks, different different things, especially when I played in the city. I might tune in. Up and beyond that, if it's playoff baseball, I'm always watching playoff baseball. I love it. I think that it is awesome. Every pitch means something. To get two more playoff games in the divisional series, I think just totally makes sense. Not to mention, if baseball is going to be concerned about revenue, boy,
all right,
oh boy.
Do you think it would have made a difference in the Houston-Cleveland series? Do you think it would have made a difference in the Atlanta-Dodgers series? I mean, are we barking up a tree? Which, what difference does it make? I mean, are we going to find out the best team in
maybe
a best
not
of five?
Maybe not this year.
I'm just asking.
I think that it could. Now, how about the fact that managers might do things a little bit different if you got to win four games as opposed to three. I think it could make a difference. I don't know how much. I'm just saying I think it could.
All right. Again, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox. And he is going to be coming up in just a little bit at 4 o'clock. So very much looking forward to talking with Charles. We got a lot going on in the National Football League. And here we are with the middle of October not yet upon us. And I think it's safe to say that barring an injury, the Rams are a shoo-in to win their division.
Yes.
The Chiefs are a shoo-in to win their division.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it crazy what's going on right now?
Listen, and you say barring injury, I would agree with you. You look at the NFC South, you say it's probably the Saints and the Panthers. You don't really know what's going to go on in the NFC North. That's going to be who are the Vikings? We don't know. The same with the Packers. And is this Bears team really real?
Right.
But you bring up the Rams and the Chiefs, and I think both of those guys are head and shoulders in their division above everyone else.
All right, 339-1140. We'll talk to Charles about a lot of stuff going on in the NFL. The Mariners and the Raiders the Seahawks and the Raiders are going to play in London.
Yes.
I like the way Seattle played against the Rams, Doug. They were very impressive. I really was impressed with how they played, and I'd be surprised if they go over to London and do not win this game.
You know, I just can't trust my Seahawks the way I used to be able to. But I will say this. We have the best quarterback, and that's going to give us an opportunity. Defensively, if we play really well, I think that it gives us a really good chance. Fly around, hit people. You're going to have to get a big game from Tyler Lockett. You're going to have to run the football with Chris Carson. And if those are things that the Seahawks can do, watch out. They might win this game.
Well, they should win this game.
Yeah.
I mean, the Raiders are terrible.
The problem is you know football, Grant, on
yes,
any given Sunday,
absolutely.
And the Raiders have been in some games. They haven't been able to close them. They're not going to continue, I don't think, because they constantly – penalties, man, goodness gracious, man. I'd take my eyebrows off if I was a coach. Eyelashes, I'd be hairless, man. I'd be like Scott Pollard's cat, goodness gracious.
Oh, my God.
It's just like the dumbest penalties of all time. And if they're going to do that and you're going to give a guy like Russell Wilson multiple opportunities, yeah, you're right. I'm going to go with my Seahawks.
All right. Again, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, we are taking you right up till 7 o'clock. And anytime you want to call, your calls are welcome. We're going to break down baseball tonight. We'll give you our thoughts on how this game is going to go. We'll also preview this week in the National Football League, and we got some good college games going on this weekend as well. So a lot of good stuff to talk about during the next 3 hours. Also, Dave Yeager is going to come on. We're going to pick his brain a little bit on how he approaches Thursday's game, considering you're playing that team to open up on Wednesday. But when we return, all right, we are going to talk NFL football with Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox. That's coming up next.